So it is Friday. That's when we like to take a look at the headlines from Iraq over the last 7 days. We do it in a special BPP segment we call The Week in Iraq. Here at home, contradictory poll numbers out on views of the war. In a USA Today Gallup poll of about 2,000 Americans, 6 out of 10 people said invading Iraq was a mistake, and they support getting out of the country. But while that poll finds some pessimism among Americans, a Pew Research Center poll reports a bit more optimism about the war. 53% of the 1,000 Americans polled believe the U.S. will achieve its goals in Iraq. That's up from 42% in September of 2007. And almost half of those polled believe things are going well, compared to 30% who thought that way in February 2007. The increased support is attributed to the perceived success of the U.S. surge strategy in Iraq. Big news also from the Pentagon this week. It acknowledged for the first time that Saddam Hussein had no direct ties to al-Qaeda, contradicting the Bush administration's main case for the war in Iraq. We're going to get more into that and the news of the resignation of the top U.S. commander, the resignation of the former head of CENTCOM in charge of both the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Joining us now is Warren Strobel. He's a foreign affairs reporter for McClatchy Newspapers. McClatchy was the first to report on the story of the Pentagon's report on Monday. Hi, Warren.
Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Doing just fine. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the Pentagon report on Saddam and al-Qaeda. This isn't the first time we're hearing that there's no evidence to support the connection here, right? A 2005 CIA report released by the Senate Intelligence Committee also came to a similar conclusion. Why is it important that this is coming from the Pentagon now?
Well, a couple points. First of all, this is the Pentagon's own report, or a report done by a federally funded sort of think tank for the Pentagon. And secondly, it's based not on American analysis, but on the actual documents and written record of Saddam Hussein's rather brutal and dictatorial regime. So it's sort of there in black and white, so to speak. I should add that obviously the record's not complete. This is based on like 600,000 documents and audio files and video files that were captured. But, of course, a lot of the documents were probably destroyed during the invasion.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say it's 600,000 documents from Saddam's regime were examined for this, but there was no apparent smoking gun, right? They didn't find the quintessential piece of evidence linking al-Qaeda to Saddam. But what did they find?
Well, that's exactly it. They did not find a direct operational link between Saddam and al-Qaeda, and you would have thought if there was one, there would have been at least a hint of it in 600,000 documents. They did find, however, that I think as we knew, that Saddam's regime was indeed tied into terrorism in a couple of ways. Firstly, they were supportive of Palestinian groups, violent, terroristic Palestinian groups that were attacking Israel. Israeli citizens, and Saddam gave money to the families of suicide bombers and so forth, and I think even harbored some of those people in Iraq. And secondly, this report says what I've sort of always suspected, which is the main target of terror operations that Saddam's regime carried out was Iraqi citizens themselves, i.e., dissidents and opponents overseas. And in fact, one of the people targeted, I'm just looking at one of these documents just now, one of the people targeted by Saddam was Ahmed Chalabi, who, as I'm sure your listeners know, was the head of the Iraqi National Congress and one of the most outspoken opponents of Saddam, and actually played a role in the decision to go to war, the U.S. decision, I should say.
Now, so basically they found evidence that terrorism was happening in Iraq. It just wasn't al-Qaeda. It wasn't
right.
The folks who were responsible for 9/11.
Exactly.
Now,
of course, the case that the Bush administration made before the war was not just that Saddam had ties to terrorism, but they made a number of statements suggesting Saddam had ties to al-Qaeda. Former Defense Secretary Rumsfeld at one point said, we have bulletproof evidence of this. And when Colin Powell made his speech to the UN Security Council in February of 2003, just before the invasion, he cited a number of other instances which I believe every one of those has proven to be false or exaggerated.
So this was clearly not something that the Pentagon wanted to talk about in a public way, correct? They didn't release this in a very public fashion.
You know, it's very odd, Rachel. I was told, and I actually had documents and sources telling me they were going to do a sort of formal release of this, as they often do with reports of these kind. It was supposed to be posted online and sort of briefed to the press on Wednesday. And lo and behold, I think after my report and some other reports came out, they decided they were not going to make a big deal of it at all. And they're popping the CD in the mail to those who asked for it.
So reporters had to ask for a copy if they wanted
it. Yeah, yeah. I think it is actually now online, but not on any Pentagon official site I've been able to find. It's, in fact, online on the NPR.org site.
Now, has anyone from the Pentagon come out and explained why the low profile on this?
No, I've asked and haven't gotten what I would consider to be a satisfactory answer, but it's very clear that they changed signals or changed the game plan in terms of how they were going to release this thing.
So we are coming up on the five-year anniversary of the start of the war next Wednesday. What is the impact of this report, do you think? What's the takeaway here?
I think it'll probably, it should probably end any thought that Saddam had anything to do with 9/11, which there's still some percentage of the American public that believes that. But beyond that, I honestly think it won't have as much of an impact as it might have a few years ago, because I think everybody's views of the war are pretty much set now. Mm-hmm. People who think the war was a mistake are going to continue to feel that way, and they will continue to point to documents like that. People on the other side of the debate will go through this report. They will find instances where Saddam was tied into terrorism and was doing bad things. And
we've also seen the administration's narrative on this change, right? They've kind of shifted away and started talking about, instead of direct links, they talk about how, in general, Saddam Hussein was someone who supported the idea of terrorism, and it could have been likely that al-Qaeda and Saddam could have formed an alliance, and that was dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They have sort of changed their narrative over time. So, but at the 5-year anniversary there, I think virtually everybody has nobody's minds is going to be changed by this.
Let's get to the other big news out of the Pentagon: the resignation of the top commander in charge of both the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Head of CENTCOM, former head of CENTCOM, Admiral William Fallon. He resigned Tuesday. This came after an Esquire magazine article published a profile Esquire did of Fallon, in which he seemingly criticized President Bush on his Iran policy. Here's what U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates had to say.
He told me that, quote, the current embarrassing situation, public perception of differences between my views and administration policy, and the distraction this causes from the mission make this the right thing to do, unquote.
Okay, so from your reporting, was Fallon pushed out?
I think he sort of pushed himself out. It was an extraordinary interview to give, and the worst thing in the world is that you want to be up there saying you're the one thing standing between President Bush and the war with Iran, which is basically how the interview was played out. So I think he helped push himself out, but the White House and Gates kind of decided it was time for him to go. And this is an administration that says it likes to listen to its military commanders, but it tends to only like to listen to the ones that agree with it, quite frankly. We can go back to, General Shinseki before the Iraq War and several other instances of that.
And finally, there was some tension reported between General David Petraeus, who's the top general in Iraq, and Fallon. Was this a natural tension, or did that tension somehow lead to Fallon's decision to leave? Tension in that this is the guy who heads up the war, and this is the guy who's actually fighting it.
I think it was actually sort of an unnatural situation. One of my colleagues who covers the Pentagon a lot closer than I do tells me that there was practically dancing in Petraeus's headquarters in Baghdad when word of Fallon's resignation. And it was an unusual situation, Rachel, because nominally Fallon is Petraeus's boss. He's the head of Central Command, which oversees the entire Middle East and much of the Islamic world, U.S. forces there. But Petraeus was Bush's favorite. He has a direct line almost to the White House, and I think that led to a lot of tension between Fallon and Petraeus, besides their apparent different policy views.
Hey, Warren Strobel, foreign affairs reporter for McClatchy Newspapers. Thanks for walking through the news of Iraq this week with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.